We're on the Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, 31a. Let's just briefly overview the Mishnah that we ended off with yesterday. We said if a litigant brings proof after the case was closed, and he has new proof to bring, you can reopen the case. And if the court says to him, bring all the proof you have until 30 days, and if he brings within 30 days, he can reopen the case. But after 30 days, he can't reopen the case if they give him 30 days. Rav Shimon Gamaliel argued on that, and what he says, what do you want from a guy who couldn't find the proof in the 30 days and finds it after the 30 days? So that was one machlokas. Came another machlokas, where the court says to the guy, okay, in the case, do you have any witnesses? No. Do you have any documentations? No. And then afterwards, he brings either witnesses or documentations. Tanakam again says, nothing, we don't accept it. Shingamil says, what should a guy do if he didn't think he had witnesses, didn't get documentation? If he finds it, what do you want? Of course, he should be able to bring it. That was the second machlokas. And the third machlokas, I mean, we did that maybe a little bit quickly, that last one, when the litigant, let's just do the last one, if the litigant who told the court that he has no witness or evidence to produce and he sees he's about to be found liable in the litigation, here there's no machlokas, and then he says, let so-and-so and so-and-so approach and testify for me, or he, all of a sudden he brings a proof, evidence, let's, right? Then we don't, it's nothing, because he sees that he's losing, that's why he's bringing it, that way. No argument on that case. But the main thing I want to focus is on the first two machlokasing. When the judge says you have 30 days to produce the evidence or not, Tanakama says if the 30 days are gone, he's finished. Rav Shimon Gamaliel says he can bring it afterwards. And the second machlokas, if they ask him, do you have witnesses or proof? And he says no, Tanakama says he can't bring any more. Well, Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel says, what do you want? If the guy could bring later. Those are the two machlokas. We have to bear this in mind because what the Gemara now will focus on. So now, we start the Gemara. Omar Rabba Bar Huna. Rabba Bar Huna says the following. Okay, on the first machlokes, where after the 30 days are up and he brings it, Rabba Huna says, Halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamaliel. We hold like Rav Shimon Gamaliel, that even if he brings evidence after 30 days, it will be accepted. That's what Rabba Bar Huna said. He also said another statement. Now think about this. Ve'amar Rabba Bar Huna, Rabba Huna also said, Ein halacha k'divrei chachamim. The law is not like the chachamim. So Gemara asked the obvious question. Pshita, well, that's a pretty obvious statement, right? Kivan de'amar halacha k'rishim gamliel. Once you already told us first that the laws are k'rishim gamliel, I already know. Memela, consequently, yadana we know. Den halacha k'chachamim. The law is not like the chachamim. Why does he have to say a second time that the law is not like the chachamim? Gemara answers the following. No, there was a need for him to say the second statement. Ma'u the same. I might have thought, Hani Mili, when do we say that the law is like Rav Shimon Gamaliel lichat chila, initially? Lichat chila, initially we say, if the guy has evidence to bring after 30 days, we hold like Rav Shimon Gamaliel, and we take the evidence and we reopen the case. But what if b'di'eved avol di'evad, but after the fact, let's say the court went with the rabbi's opinion and rejected the evidence that was brought afterwards. I would think maybe b'di'eved we would accept the chachamim's opinion. One might have thought that since the sages hold the majority opinion, their view may be relied upon ex post facto. Accordingly, if a court refused evidence that a defendant presented after the time limit had passed and extracted money from him on the basis of its verdict, okay, the ruling would stand and the plaintiff would keep the money they had received. We'd think that after the fact, if we paskin like the chachamim, would also stand. Kamash Malan, no, that's the point. said the law is not like the Chachamim. The E of it, that if you did like the Chachamim, Madrin and Lay, we would reverse things because the halacha is not at all like the Chachamim. It's not like we hold Hashem Gamlil, Lechatchila, and B'dievet, if you did like Chachamim, it's okay. Chachamim is totally rejected. So that's number one. Clearly, we hold the Hashem Gamlil. If after the 30-day time limit is brought, he brings evidence, it is accepted. His logic carries the day. What do you want if the guy didn't have the evidence till then? Next case. Second machlokas.
Well, I have one question on that. After the verdict was reached, and the...
And they take money from him.
Yeah, he pays the money, or he waits for...
No, he paid the money.
Then when it's reversed, he has to give it back.
Yeah, the other guy gives it back.
Yeah, if the verdict for new evidence comes and then reverse it, then they have to give it back.
That's right.
Okay.
That's what a reversal of a decision is.
Yeah, well, it's not only a decision, the implementation of it, too.
Well, no, you're reversing the decision, and when you reverse the decision, reverse the implementation.
Sure.
Exactly. Second machlokas that the Mishnah brings, they say, bring witnesses to support you. And he says, I have none. And Reb Shimon Gamliel says he can bring afterwards against the Chachamim as well. Reb Shimon Gamliel, etc., etc. So now let's see who the halacha is in this machlokas. This is obviously different than the first case. The first case, they just said you have 30 days. He didn't say anything one way or the other. He just didn't bring anything. The second machlokas, they say, do you have evidence? Do you have witnesses? He says, no. Well, now they said no. It's going to make it a little more difficult for us to reverse things. Still, Rav Shimon Gamliel says he can. Rav Chama says he can't. In this case, so the last rabbi who was on was Rabbi Bar Huna. So same thing. Amar Rabbi Bar Huna, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says the name of Rabbi Yochanan. That's in the name of Rabbi Yochanan now. He says, in this case, though, Halacha K'di Rav Chama, we paskin like the Chachamim. That if he said he didn't have anything, he can't bring it afterwards and reverse it. Amar Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, same thing. Ein halacha b'shem Gamliel. Law is not like b'shem Gamliel. So we're going to ask the same question again. Pshita, isn't that second statement obvious? Kivan the Amar halacha b'shem Gamliel. Since you said the law is like the Chachamim, memeli dana don I know, then halacha b'shem Gamliel. Now you might say, well, wait a minute. Let's go with the same answer as before. That we hold like the Chachamim, but b'dievet, if we did like Rav Shimon Gamliel, it will stand. So look what the footnote says. One cannot answer, as the Gemara did above, that were it not for Rav Yochanan's second statement, one might have thought that Shimon Gamliel's view may rely upon post facto. Why don't we give that same answer as we gave before? Because Shimon Gamliel's opinion is a minority opinion. That before we thought, well, b'dievet, you go to Chachamim, because Chachamim is majority. We still paskin like the minority, but b'dievet you go to the majority. Here, Rav Shimon Gamliel is a minority. Therefore, once Rav Yochanan stated the law follows the sages, there's no reason to think that Rav Shimon Gamliel's view may be relied upon at all. So we have to come with a different answer.
Yeah, accepted.
You got that?
Don't the judges always ask you, do you have any witnesses when they come before you?
Yeah, that's at the beginning of the
trial. Well, it may be not.
No, but this is
maybe they see the guy hasn't brought anything. The guy didn't. It depends, you know. What if they didn't? Right? Sometimes the judge may not ask him. He sees the guy's not bringing anything. So what do you have to say? I have nothing to say. This is my thing. Whatever. But anyway, so why do we have to say the law is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel if we said the law is like the Chachamim? Hakamash Malan, the Chiddush is, you're right, we already know the laws of Rav Shimon, but the Chiddush is that in this case, that only in this case, ain't halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel, when he argues with the Chachamim, ha-be-kula halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel, but in all other instances that his opinion is mentioned, we go with Rav Shimon Gamliel. In other words, what's the answer? Yes, the law is like the Chachamim, and he also says the law is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel to say, only in this machlokas do we say the law is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Any other time he argues with the Chachamim, we hold like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, why would he have to say that? I mean, so okay, just count up the numbers, you know. No, because there is an opinion that says no, that we don't hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in a number of cases against the Chachamim. And this rabbi is going to say, no, it's only in this case and not in any other case. And that is lafuke, to exclude, to preclude, mehod omar rabba bar bar chana omar rabbi yochanan. Rabba bar, right? It's confusing. We have Rabba bar Rav Huna Amar Rav Yochanan. This is Rabba bar bar Chana Amar Rav Yochanan. But to it, because he holds that there's in a few places the law is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So this rabbi is coming to preclude that and say, no, only in this one case. And what does he say? Because Rabba bar Rav Huna Amar Rav Yochanan says, Kol Makom Shishana. But Rav Shimon Gamliel Mishnah, whenever we have Rav Shimon Gamliel Mishnah, Allah knows we hold like him. But look how many cases he excludes, not just one. Chutz, except for Orev, that's case number one, the guarantor. Vitzidon, that's the name of a city. Urayach Rona, and the latter case evidence, that's our case. Urayach Rona is our case. So he says three times. So Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omer Rav Yochanan says, whenever we have Rav Shimon Gamliel, we hold like him every time, except in three cases. So therefore, over here, Rabba bar Rav Hun Amar Yochanan said, only here we don't totally Rav Shimon Gamliel, but in the other two cases we do. That's why he's repeating the statement. Even though he said the halacha is like the Chachamim, Rabba bar Rav Hun Amar Yochanan says, and this is the only place we don't hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, to exclude my colleague's opinion that there's two other places we don't hold like Rav Shimon bar Gamliel. That's why he says that. Now, what are these other cases over here?
What's in Sidon?
Well, I'm going to tell you. Look, the case of a guarantor, this refers to the dispute between Rabbi and Shimon Gamliel and the sages concerning the extent of a guarantor's liability for a loan. We don't need to know any more details. There's a machlokas there, Baba Basra, if we ever get to Daf 173. Sidon, there's a reference to the dispute concerning an event that occurred in Sidon as set forth in a Gemara in Gittin. Okay, good. It doesn't matter. It's not relevant for us. The latter case of evidence, this refers to the second dispute between Rav Gamliel and the sages in our Mishnah. Okay? So that's what Rabba bar Rav Huna is saying. This is the only case we don't have, not the other two cases. So it's a good rule of thumb to know that we always hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel when he argues with the Chachamim. Fine. So what comes out over here? Comes out, we have a little flip. In the first Machlokes, if they give him 30 days to prove his case and he doesn't bring it, we hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that he can still bring it. But in the case where we ask him if he has more evidence or witnesses, he says, no, we hold like the Chachamim that he cannot bring it. And the truth is, that's pretty logical. The first logic makes sense. What do you want if the guy couldn't find it? But the second one, if we asked him if he has, and he said no, he could have said, I'm trying. He says, I know I have evidence, I just can't find it. Now that might be different, instead of saying no. Okay. Anyway, now that we have these two halachas, now we bring a story in light of that. And this is very interesting. Hahu Yanuka. There was a child, the Tavua Ladina Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, that was summoned to go to Rabbi Yochanan's court concerning a debt that his late father owed. Somebody came and claimed that your father, who passed away, owed me money and I want to collect it now. And here's my document or whatever. Here's my proof that your father owes me the money. Now, they bring the kid to court and the kid's going to say, I don't have any evidence. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? And listen to this. An heir is obligated to pay off his father's outstanding debts with the property that he inherits. An heir who is a minor is not obligated to pay until he reaches adulthood.
He's still obligated.
However, yeah, it appears from the following incident that the deceased person's debt is subject to collection even if the heir is a minor. Okay, see Tosos who grapple with this question. Ron, however, suggests that the child in this incident may actually have been an adult who was referred to as a child because of ignorance regarding his late father's affairs. Okay, so there's a detail here. What does it mean, a child? There's a technical issue. Be that as it may. Anyway, they call up the court and they ask him. Amarle, the court, Rav Nachman, said to the child, Eslecha Sadi, do you have witnesses? Can you testify that your father does not owe the debt? Let's say there's a witness that saw your father paid him back. Do you have any witnesses? Malelo. He says, no. Eslecha Rai, do you have any proof? Any documents? Amarle, lo. Sorry, I don't have. So what happened? So, Chayve Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman obligated him to pay. Makes sense? Now, reaction of the child. Have a kabochi va'ozel. The kid starts going about crying. It's not fair. Took my money away. What? First of all, how old is an adult already? 13? I see a lot of 13-year-olds crying. Whining away and get their way. I see a lot of 50-year-olds crying. Anyway, Shamu Hanachinshi, so there were people hearing the kid crying. Amrule, they said, you know what? Don't worry. Ananya Dana Bamilavucha. We are familiar with their late father's affairs, and we can testify that he does not owe his debt. Now the question is, based on that, how should we take it? Based on the information we have until now, what would we presumably say?
Let's accept the evidence. Because it was not available at the time. Yeah,
why not? 1 minute.
He said, I don't have.
Yeah. This, well, so based on a machlokas chacham Rishon Gamliel, how do we hold?
The ruling, no, it's out.
Well, that's what you should go by the ruling now. Based on what we said, the Allah is like the Chachamim. What should the next part of the story be? They say, too bad, we're not reopening the case. That's what you'd expect, right? Now, guess what?
It's not fair.
Amar Rav Nachman says, Baha, in this particular case, Afilu Rabbanamoda, the sages would agree that we would accept the testimony.
Yes.
Why? Sammy's happy. The Anuka, a child, Bamila Davor, in his father's affairs, Lo Yada, he doesn't know. So when he said no, that's to the best of his knowledge. But that's not a point against him. When you got the actual litigant himself, who borrowed the money, let's say, we say, do you have any witness? And he says no, then it means he said no. The kid said no is more out of ignorance, you know, than the actual litigant who should not be ignorant about it.
But it's only because he's a child. Maybe he's an adult child.
Either way, but it was his father's affairs. In other words, it was his father. You have to understand, the case here is we're making you pay not for what you owe, but for what your father owes. That's already one step removed. We can understand why you may not know your father's affairs. And that's why we'll make an exception rule. Maybe you want to close Martin's door, because... And then you can close our door, too. Okay, let's go to the next case. All right, so now we see an exception to this rule that if it's reasonable to say the fact that I didn't know isn't a strike against him, like with the child, then we will take the evidence afterwards. Next case. Hahi itisa. There was a woman, Dinafak Shtara Mitusayara, who had in her possession a note. Now, what was this note? A note of indebtedness that had been entrusted to her by the debtor and creditor. One guy borrowed for another, and they told the lady to hold it. Okay? They told the lady to hold it. Right? Amra lay, she said to the court the following. She whips out this document and says, Yodana Bahai Shtara de Pariyahu. Here is a debt that says Reuven owes Shimon, but I'm showing you the debt, and I'm also telling you that I know that Shimon paid Reuven. Now, what would you say if you were the judge? Would you say, no, I see there's a document that says it owes? Because normally, what should you see? You'd have to see another document that says it's been paid. Mm-hmm. It's been paid. Yeah. Or are there witnesses? Like, why does she still have it?
Yeah.
Why? Usually you give it to her so when the guy pays back, right? The question is, why did the creditor not hold it? The creditor could say, listen, I'm a very tzafloigena guy. I know I'm going to lose the document. You're a very responsible lady. You know, hold on to it for me. Why would you give it to
her? Testify as a woman?
Once. She's just bringing the document. It's not really testifying.
Well, she's saying more than that.
Yeah, but the document speaks for itself.
But she's saying the opposite.
She's negating.
I understand. Okay, that's a good question. Just hold on to that. That's a good point. So based on what would you guys assume if you had to render the halacha here? What would you say?
So the guy's asked to pay.
Guy should have to pay?
Yeah.
Everybody agrees. Yeah? Okay, good. So now, Haymana Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman believed her and rejected the note, considered as if paid. Okay, so everybody was wrong on that one. Amarle Rav Rav Nachman. Okay, now Rava asks a question. Rav Nachman's ruling. He's not happy with that ruling. He says, come on. Who are you in accord with? Which other rabbi are you fitting your halacha? Now we're going to offer possibilities, and we're going to see you're not like these guys. Do you want to say, for example, you hold like Karebi? Maybe you hold like Rebbe. What's Rebbe's opinion? The Amar Osios Niknos Bimisiro. Do you want to say that Rebbe holds that the letters on a document, meaning the document itself, may be acquired through handing over? Okay, what does that mean? One of the methods of kinyan for movable property is mesira, handing over. Handing over is a method of acquisition. With this method, the previous owner hands over the object to the new owner and therefore transfers the object to his possession. The Gemara over there records a dispute as to whether a creditor can transfer ownership of an outstanding debt to another person by handing over to him the note in which the debt is recorded. In other words, yeah. I have a credit note on somebody. Can I just give it to somebody else? And that is the kinyan, now the other person owns it or not. I have a credit note. It says, Sneer owes me $100. I have it. Now, can I just give it to Sammy? And with that alone, Sammy now owns the credit note or not. Just by me giving it to him, is that sufficient kinyan or no? Am I still the one? So there's a machlokas over there. Rebbe maintains that handing over is an effective means of acquisition with respect to the letters. You see, the letters of the debt requiring the note. For note of indebtedness is no different than other movable property. In other words, everybody agrees. Hold on, but no, I just gave it to her, and she has it. She has it. He says that's good enough. The sages argue that by handing over the note, one merely transfers ownership of the paper, not the letters that are on it. To transfer the debt, one must employ a different method of acquisition, such as drawing up a bill of sale and handing it over to the buyer together with the note. In other words, normally, if I give you something, I give you a tape recorder. So it's yours. It was a proper kinyan. Here's the tape recorder. I'm giving it to you. You take it. You're the owner. Nobody disagrees with that. I'm giving you a piece of paper. The piece of paper says, Sneer owes me $100. Okay, so Rebbe says, the piece of paper with this is like the tape recorder. And you have it, and done. And you own it. Come and say, no. All you gave her was a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. Now, the words on the piece of paper, you want that to transfer to? Now you need a separate document saying that you've given over the document to her. Because it's only a piece of paper you gave her. You want to give her the ability to collect. So here's the debate between Rebbe and the Chachamim. If by giving, that is the machlokas.
That's not our case.
It is our case.
Well, she didn't want to collect.
Just hold on. Just wait. Let's just explain everything. So now that's the machlokas. Can you transfer the ownership of a credit note merely by giving it? In this case, this lady only has the credit note. There's no other document. Okay? Now, okay, so let's see what the Gemara then says. But the halacha does not follow Rebbe. That's the problem. The halacha does not follow Rebbe in this case. Now let's continue here. According to Rebbe, one who has in his possession a note of indebtedness describing a loan between two other parties is entitled to claim that the creditor transferred ownership of the debt to him by handing him over the note. His possession note substantiates the claim, since the mere handing over the note suffices to transfer ownership of the debt. If you wanted her just to hold it, you should have written in the note that you're giving it to so-and-so to hold.
Exactly.
According to the woman, could have taken advantage of her possession of the note to claim that she owns it. Couldn't she have done that?
Yes.
She has a credit note.
Yes.
According to Rebbe,
yes.
What's she doing with a credit note?
Yes.
She could just say, he gave me the credit note, and that's it. We must. So if we, according to Rebbe, we'd believe her to that, so we must therefore believe her testimony that the debt has been paid. Because if she's telling you it's been paid, but that's her credit note. So that's why we should... is that what you want to say, Rav Nachman? That's why you paskind? That you believe her? Because you're holding like Rebbe? On the other hand, according to sages who disagree with Rebbe, mere possession of note does not by itself support a claim that its ownership has been transferred, since acquisition of the debt requires more than handing over the note. To prove ownership of the document and the loan recorded in it, one must be able to produce the bill of sale with which the loan was transferred, which was not in this case here. Accordingly, the woman could not have claimed that she had acquired the loan, and there is therefore no basis for accepting her testimony, because she's a woman, and invalidating the note. Thus, Rav Nachman's ruling seems to be in accord with Rebbe's opinion. You follow what Rav, who is this? Rav has said to Rav Nachman, he says, well, so I guess, what are you trying to say? You're holding like Rebbe? That's the justification of what you said? Again, according to Rebbe, the fact that the lady has the document, according to Rebbe, that means she owns it. So therefore, if she comes to court and she now says, here's a credit document, it's my credit document, well, no reason why we can't believe her, she's holding on to it,
yeah.
And she's saying, and it's been paid, well, guess what? She didn't even have to show it.
That's right.
We can believe everything she's saying, according to Rebbe. According to the Chachamim, they say the fact she has the note is nothing. All it means is Reuven owes Shimon money. Finished. And therefore, that we know. The fact you said it's paid, we're not going to believe you. You're a woman, right? Is that what you wanted? But that's the problem. But we don't hold like Rebbe. We paskin like the Chachamim, who said that she does not get ownership by just holding on to it. So why is she believed? So Rav Nachman will answer, Amar Lei, Shaini Hocha. This case is different. De'i boy kalsi. If the woman wanted, she could have burned the note.
Right.
She never had to produce the note. It's like a migu. It's like a migu. She could, if she wanted to have the guy pay, why did she have to bring the note?
Right.
Right? Since we did not know that she had it, we didn't know she had it. She's the one who told us and brought it to light. It was therefore belief or claim that it has been paid, even though we do not follow Rebbe's opinion. Had she wanted to resort to an untruth in order to release the debtor from his obligation, let's say she's lying. Let's say it's not her note. Let's say Reuven owns Shimon, and she likes Shimon, and Reuven doesn't want Reuven to have to pay.
Right.
Guess what? She should have just burnt the note.
Right.
What are you bringing it here for?
Sure.
To say it's paid. We must therefore believe her statement that it has been paid. Ordinarily, however, one who is known to be in possession of another person's note is not believed if he claims the note is not valid. If we knew she had the note before, then we wouldn't believe her. If we knew, let's say the guy did this thing and told the court, I want you to know Mrs. Schwartz is holding the note in case anything happens. Now if she comes and says it's been paid, we wouldn't believe her because we already know the information. But since we don't know, therefore we will believe her. That's answer number one. Ika da'amri. Now there's just a reversal of this. Some have the story the exact opposite. Some relate the entire story the opposite way. So do everything opposite. That what? Lo himne Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman did not believe her. He said, I don't believe you, and this debt has to be paid. That's a different version of the story. So now they're going to say, well then, who are you holding like then? If we don't believe her. So now, Rava is going to question Rav Nachman the opposite way. Rav asked Rav Nachman, right? He says, wait a minute, why don't you believe her? If she wanted to, kalsay, she could have burned the document. Right? That's the reversing the story. She could have burnt the document, right? The answer is, he says, kivan dischazek bevedina, since the authenticity had been established in the court. That's the case is totally different. Since we know there was such a debt and it was established, then Iboy Kal Salamrina, we don't say she's believed that she could have burnt it, right? So it's a separate version of the story. Here was a story where it was on file that she was holding on to the document and therefore won't believe her. So that's two different versions of the story. Okay. Let's just do a little bit more. Let's see if we can do a little bit more. The second version, we're in the second version now. We're still not finished. We continue a little bit more. Eisvei Rav Nachman, Rava challenged Rav Nachman, and that's a different question. Remember, here he's saying he did not believe her because it was a recorded document, right? He said, I'm not done with you, Rav Nachman. I still got questions, according to the second version. Because what about a simpon? A simpon is a receipt into possession of the debtor, sheish of edim, that has signatures of witnesses on it. We know Yiskayim Bechosmov should be certified through its signers. In other words, it should be validated by having its witnesses certify that the signatures are authentic. Okay, you got that?
That's a different document.
I know, but he's going to say, again, simpon, a receipt that's in possession of the debtor that has signatures of witnesses on it. How do we prove that it's true? Yiskayim Bechosmov. It should be validated by having its witnesses certify that the signatures are authentic.
Okay, the receipt that he paid up, that he paid
it. Yeah, so you have to have the witnesses, and we have to verify that. But ain't a love edim. But what if it doesn't have the we don't have the signatures of witnesses on it, right? It's a receipt without the signatures, right? But emerges from the hands of a third party who was entrusted the payment. The receipt was given to a third party. Oh, she yotza achar chisum shtars, or it emerges in court below the signatures on the note of indebtedness. It was not written on, the receipt wasn't written on a separate piece of paper, but was rather appended to the original note of indebtedness beneath the signatures.
Okay,
you have the debt, and then you just have says it's been paid.
Yeah.
Right? So we say,
signatures for that. Yeah, okay.
Kosher. It's valid.
Uh-huh.
Where the receipt emerged from the hands of a third party who authenticated it, his word is accepted as long as both the creditor and the debtor admit to having entrusted him with it. Where the receipt was appended to the note of indebtedness, its authenticity is assured, since the creditor retains possession of the note and would not allow the receipt to be appended to it had it not been paid. Right? Who holds it?
Yeah, but it came to the witness that was holding it.
Doesn't matter, but who's holding it?
The creditor.
The creditor, so that it works. Alma, what do we see? We see Shlish Mahaman. A third party is believed regarding the validity. In the case of the Bryce, the third party is believed to authenticate the receipt and certify that the loan was paid, even though the note of indebtedness had been certified in the Besdin. It was certified in the Besdin, but he says it's okay. This contradicts Rav Nachman's ruling that the third party has no inherent credibility to state that the loan has been paid when he is confronted with a certified note of indebtedness. So that knocks you off. And guess what? Chufta Rav Nachman, Chufta. This indeed is a reputation of Rav Nachman according to the second version of the story. And if he said that she was not, that she was believed, was not believed, out she goes. We reject that thing, and we would believe that it's third party holding on to it is accepted. End of that story. And tomorrow, I don't know if we'll finish the parak, but a good place to stop for sure. Okay.